Yeah, Olivia, it's an interesting story. It started in 2006 as a joint venture between George Weston Foods, a fantastic, very large multinational company, and the CBH Group, with a couple of motives. One was George Weston Foods needed supply and a relationship with a large accumulator like CBH, and CBH wanted to make a serious effort to get into the food market. So they came together. One was to support their stock feed on Westfeeds, and CBH to support Aquafeed and some movement that we'd made into Western Europe with some lupins for human food products.
So what sorts of lupin food products will the facility manufacture?
We are able to manufacture a whole series of functional foods. For example, we manufacture a very versatile product. We just simply call it a lupin flake. But we also manufacture products like a falafel. We can manufacture significant quantities of flour. We manufacture, you probably recall, the split pea that you get out of your soup. It's the same type of shape, but it's the lupin. When you take the hull off it, the pea splits in two. So those products, the split lupin split, is able to be sold into the Southeast Asian market, and mainly for tofu and tempeh.
A meat replacement, in a way.
Well, lupins are, without doubt, the highest natural source of protein and fibre in the world, and I'm absolute confidence in saying that, with the exception of vitamin B12 and iron, and water, of course, you could live on this for your entire life, which is a fairly powerful thing to say, but it is so versatile and such a complete food that you don't really need anything else.
Are you going to say superfood, David?
No, well, it is an overused term, but it is an ancient food like the quinoas and all the chias and all those fantastic stories. When you actually do the comparative analysis of quality of whether it be amino acids or protein or soluble fibre, they just don't stack up when it comes to lupin. And the really fantastic thing about this product is that whilst there's been an amazing amount of work done in the past, it just hasn't been commercialised, and our effort is trying to focus on commercialising it and positioning that as an amazing pre-farm gate value to growers.
So what sorts of technology is involved in processing these sorts of foods?
We've spent 3.5 years on it. We've used a whole lot of people globally to develop the technology. We can manufacture around about 24 tonnes an hour. And the reason we've targeted that sort of volume is so that we've got scale and our cost to market is highly competitive. We've decided not to trademark or patent this. This is a trade secret. So we've got some fairly interesting technologies in there that hopefully enable us to put the food to the consumer that at this day and age we feel that they don't want processed foods. They want foods that are easy to use. And they're natural, where obviously lupins is.
And I imagine that the plant's fairly automated?
It's highly automated. We can manage 4 total processes with 2 staff operating 24 hours a day. All the product is containerised. We've got a large intermodal terminal just to the south of us within a couple of hundred metres. Everything goes on rail to North Key Terminal and most of it goes international. We're doing a lot of our food tech development work in Australia and some of it through Southeast Asia, and our target is the global market. We can't restrict ourselves to Australia. It's well known through Western Europe. There's 500,000 tonne of lupins is consumed through Western Europe annually, so we think that we can capitalise on that into the high-value markets.
So what parts of Southeast Asia are particularly appealing for you?
They're very broad. Pick an instant noodle, pick a tempeh, a tofu, some of the spices, some of the misos, for example. There's a myriad of foods that the Southeast Asian market is familiar with in terms of fermented, certainly. But we've tried some other new foods that we've developed on the Southeast Asian market, and they've responded very positively. So our aim is to position that not so much at the low end of the market. It's more pitched at the high end, where obesity and diabetes are massive issues, not only in Australia but also Southeast Asia. So we feel that we can answer on many of the critical issues that are facing populations in that region also. What people need, I think is they need a packaged food that within 15 to 20 minutes they can feed a family, and that's what our foods are focused on.
Today is the official opening of the lupin processing facility. You're processing the lupins already. When do you hope to get a steady pace of production?
We've started already, Olivia. We've accumulated since 2011-12 and, of course, 12-13. And now the new season lupins are coming in. They're fantastic quality. Our processing has been ongoing. This new mill, this new design, enables us to develop a whole new range of foods that get us into quite a different market. This whole strategy is quite simple. It's about developing some fantastic foods that are versatile, used at breakfast, lunch or dinner. We've got to be able to process them really simply and easily, and we've got to be able to go now. And with some luck, we'll be able to take out that volatility in lupin prices.
Now, Lupin Foods is a subsidiary of CBH. Will CBH be encouraging more growers to grow lupins next year and beyond?
I think it's really all about price, Olivia. What we hope to be able to do is make offers to growers. And every grower that I've spoken to in terms of responding to volume so that we can support the market demand is that they simply say, show me the price. So our aim is to go to growers with a position that says we need high-quality lupins, we need quality assurance. Perhaps we need a special variety, perhaps we need some special agronomic growing conditions, but it's all pretty much mainstream. We're not asking for things that are special, really out of the box, quite different to what good growers are currently using. So we don't want to make it difficult for growers to be able to respond, but we do want to be able to put significantly better value on the table for West Australian growers.
David, thanks for coming on the program this afternoon.
Pleasure. Thanks, Olivia.